Hey, Dave.
Hey, Ernie.
Okay, what are you talking about? Show on site? What?
I'm sorry?
Donna said you said something about the show on your site.
Oh, yeah. If you want to, I know you, you're not on Liberty right now because I got raided. If you want to send me over your archives, I'll put them up.
Yeah, well, we broadcast on other networks, so we're on libertytalk.fm right now. We didn't miss a beat, but, yeah, no, it doesn't matter. I mean, we have a RSS feed, we have the archive, we have our app, we could put a little play widget on your site. We do however you want to do it.
I just say send me the MP3.
Okay, well, I have the feed. I mean, you just hit the RSS and it just sends.
Yeah, Ernie, if I knew how to do that.
Yeah, I know. All right, so, yeah, Donna, get me the, God, yeah, but it'd have to be FTP'd up or something because it's be 60 megabytes.
If you got archive, I can go in and get it.
Have a great day.
Yeah. Yeah, Donna will send you a link to the archive, and you can just pull down. Yeah, the MP3, you can just download it, you know, from the show. I mean, that's what that is. You just
send me the link.
Yeah, send them an example of our last show to look at the top. It's right there, the play button. That's probably what because that is the MP3. You just, you know, done.
Okay, great.
And or you can just link to it. I mean, it's already on our server. You just go link, boom, done.
Okay, will do.
All right, now we'll work it out. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, the signal must go on, and we just, normally I take Monday off, you know, play grandkids, but I came in with the next network going, we're still here, screw you, man. But, yeah, well, I appreciate that, though. We'll take advantage of it. All right, here we go, 8 seconds.
Houses. We build homes, communities, and hope. What will you build?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah. No fear. No fear, no fear, no fear here in Declare Your Independence. I'm here in Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Dave Hodges. Dave Hodges, tell you a little bit about Dave Hodges. Dave Hodges, we've been friends for, God, years. We've been working and activating, doing kind of, and he takes his tack, I kick mine, death of 1,000 cuts against the man. And we're good for a few of those cuts. The Common Sense Show features with Dave Hodges features a wide variety of important topics that range from the loss of constitutional liberties to the subsequent implementation of a police state under world governance to exploring the limits of human potential. The primary purpose of the Common Sense Show is to provide Americans with the tools necessary to reclaim both our individual and national sovereignty. So we have a lot of overlap with Dave, and he's been so kind as to offer us being able to, you know, place our archive and put a link to the show up there. We have a lot of the buttons and features and opportunities to do that very thing. We're going to get it taken care of. And, of course, anything that Dave writes, you know, we definitely post. So we want to make sure that we continue these relationships because we're going to need them. This last Arizona Breakfast Club picture that you see there in the video is the Breakfast Club where Dave was addressing the peoples. And it's always a crowd when he comes. And one of the things that we were talking about, Dave Hodges wrote an article a few days ago, will Donald Trump's candidacy be the catalyst for civil war? The establishment is preparing. But I wanted to bring to your attention, David, the AIPAC speech that Trump did last night. Have you watched any of that?
No, I've not seen it yet.
Okay, I just played a little bit in the last couple of hours. We were, you know, playing, you know, believe me, shut up and believe. I mean, he says believe me a lot. So I'm going, this is, he was throwing red meat. He had at least a couple of times that I saw, you know, God, there, that's a big auditorium, tens of thousands, I'm sure, are there. And they go, standing ovation for Trump. He was throwing red meat, Israel, love you long time thing. And I'm going, I don't like Iran either, and we're going to end the deal. So I'm going, this is amazing that the establishment, which you would think AIPAC is certainly part of that, or they use AIPAC. I mean, it's, you know, whatever. Trump is making a lot of inroads. He's starting to do the presidential consolidation. We're not doing any more debates, and here I'm going to win thing. So what's your view on this whole Trump thing? Are we in for better or worse, or what's the difference?
Well, it's almost a case of we can't do any worse. You look at the other candidates from that criminal Hillary Clinton, and I've got an article up on the Common Sense Show today where I gave a brief overview of the trail of bodies and corruption that have followed her to the point she is. Well, she's helped preside over our demise, as has Ted Cruz, as had Bernie Sanders. They're all complicit. They're all part of the losing team. If they were a coach of any kind of athletic team, they'd all be fired for their losing records. So can we really do any worse? And I've been saying, too, I'm not voting for necessarily Trump the man. I'm voting for what he's saying and what he represents, because we're having the life sucked out of this country, from free trade agreements to our tax system, which is grossly unfair. And Trump is saying he's going to restore it, and he's the only candidate who's talking about real issues, such as free trade agreements.
Well, you know, bringing, we're going to save America and America first, make America great again, and I got to ask what that means. For me, make America great again was defense of the individual doing whatever the hell he wanted as long as he wasn't bothering anybody. And the biggest, you know, freaking interfere with my life is the federal government. I got libertarian candidate Daryl Perry coming up saying, you know what, I just want to do away with one level of government. The federal government. And I go, yay! You think we'll survive?
I agree. They're good for one thing. And one thing only.
And I bet you they're not good at that either, whatever you're going to say, Dave.
Well, they could be good at it, because we have been good at it, and that's national defense. We do need a strong
army. Yeah, how's that working out?
Army, and that is it. That is it.
There, I don't feel safer. I mean, it's building up to...
You shouldn't today, Obama is just now in the military. But in the right hands, we can make other nations afraid to attack us, to mess with us, if we act accordingly. And I'm not talking about bulldozing our way into Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, and Syria. I'm talking about real national defense, where we don't mess with other people, but we make it clear to them if they mess with us, they're going to get 10 times the force coming back their way. And I'm not a warmonger, but I'm done taking crap from countries like Iran. And I agree with Trump. That deal needs to go away. Isn't it interesting? We can't rebuild our infrastructure. We can drink poisonous water in the form of lead in 42 out of 50 states, but we can afford to give Iran $150 billion.
Okay, now this, I got it. You know, it's not that I'm a supporter. I haven't even read the, don't care. You know, but my thing is that $150 billion was money we seized from them 30, 40 years ago, you know, during the Iran hostage kind of Shah fell, whatever. And we just took your money. The whole thing was not giving them money, it was giving them back their money. I'd say just give them, be done with it. You know, of course, now it's, you know, worth a lot less than what it was back when we took it. But, you know, I'm, and they probably just printed up a printing press and here you go. But I'm just going, that needs to be, you know, made known. I think it's disingenuous not to bring that up.
Okay. All right. You know, and that falls on my deaf ears, because you know, the imams have made their intent clear. They want to force a crisis which will supposedly bring their savior back to earth, which definitely means Armageddon. That's how I read. I mean, they're being run by nutcases, and their nutcases are as bad and as criminal as our nutcases. And when you flip that coin over of $150 billion, what do you find on the other side? Well, a few years from now, nuclear weapons pointed right at our major cities coming out of that insane society.
See, saying that, I don't care. You know, say it. I just get the full information. Say, this is, you know, we took it during this, and it was a different regime of blah, blah, whatever it is. But just to say, we give them $150 billion, when people find out that that was their money to begin with, it lessens the argument. The argument is a lot better just to say, hey, man, we seized it when the Ayatollahs took over, and we don't want to get back because we know they'll do whatever you just said. It's just... when people find that out later, it lessens the argument.
Okay,
you know?
But we could do a line item expense on what Iran has cost this country through the years, and I bet we'd come pretty close. In other words, I'm not feeling sorry for 12 imams that want to put this world in crisis. And to me, there's a lot bigger issues we need to worry about. And the point is that the they say possession, 9/10 of the law, the $150 billion was over here inside our country, and we're not doing a darn thing about our infrastructure.
Yeah, I don't think I would just give them cash anyway. Maybe, a baby bottle manufacturing company or something, whatever. Am I allowed not to care? No, we're going to send people over because we had a Marine that I thought we were out of Iraq to begin with. A Marine gets killed in Iraq. I'm so shocked. And all of a sudden now we're invading again with the Marines, if you want to invade, do whatever justification. Don't tell me it's because one Marine got killed that you're going all of a sudden we're going to reinvade Iraq. I mean, that's their excuse. Seriously, that's their reasoning.
Ernie, our foreign policy is a disaster. It's being run by the special interests. So you have to say who's going to benefit, who's getting greased.
We got plenty to talk about. We come back in the next segment, who benefits. Because we're going back into Iraq before the end of, I thought his whole big giant claim to fame was that he stopped it. We're out of Iraq. Before he leaves, got to go back in. Got to be something that, the next administration is going to take over. And see, behind the scenes, I wonder how much Trump's part of it.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Break free from the lies, the lies, the lies. Dave Hodges, breaking free from the lie kind of guy. This has been a battle he and I both shared for a long time here in Arizona. Dave Hodges he's got the ear of many, many, many thousands of people, damn what Dave says. And definitely has a view. And he wrote an article on the catalyst for the Civil War is, Trump and the establishment. They're already trying. And I don't think that people are buying into the crap as much as before because there's too many people there, citizen journalists or just people with cell phones. This Saturday, Dr. Frank Tamburi went, was it Saturday? I think it was the afternoon. They went to the Trump thing out at Fountain Hill. So he has a bunch of video. He has a bunch of commentary, photos. Took him an extra hour or something to get in there. Dave, did you go or hear about the Trump event here?
Well, I know all about it. I followed it. But no, I wasn't in attendance. But I've got a ton of video. And it's the same song, Ultimate Versus. It's Utah, it's Chicago all over again. Morons and thugs go out and think they can block access to people getting into the event. And then at the event they had downtown in Phoenix, you've got people pretending to be KKK who are actually Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton operatives, and they're trying to start trouble, and they want to get Trump blamed for being a racist. It's classic psyops nonsense. They're pulling out all the tricks in the book. But the biggest thing that has me concerned is the GOP leadership, where they have effectively said, and I wrote an article about this and I quoted them, they said, the people aren't making the choice here. We don't really care what the people think. The delegates are going to choose and we'll position the delegates in any fashion that we want.
Yeah.
In other words, to hell with the people. You have no voice. Sit down, shut up. We will tell you who your two candidates are.
Oh, and by the way, we need all you guys to use your taxpayer money to fund our internal party selection convention process of voting. And I'm going, and that was part of my lawsuit You know, it was all, I'm going, look, this whole thing is structured for they, them, those to get what they want and have me pay for it. That's taxation without representation and you blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. I've learned that the system is so screwed from a long time ago, 20 years ago plus. It was very clear to me that this is a rigged game. And the only way you can win is not play or get outside. Don't be dependent on the system. If they go away, if they crash, if the dollar goes, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't, because they're going to do whatever they want. And they, them, those. And now we have this Belgium thing. You heard about the bombings going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I covered it this morning.
Tell me what your take on it.
Let's get right down to brass tacks on that. You bring up an interesting point to me. Donald Trump is on the record, and I posted the video this morning on my latest article, where he says, Clinton, along with Obama, created ISIS. And I have to throw in the CIA. And I've interviewed Special Operations Officer Scott Bennett, who was on the inside, advised presidents, has the documents, and he's correct. We provided him with weapons we left behind in Iraq and funding through Swiss bank accounts, and Hillary Clinton was part of the process. So whenever you see an ISIS attack now, whether it be Paris or in Belgium, Hillary Clinton has blood on her hands.
Yeah. Well, you think that was one of the articles that we had up. If Hillary Clinton is not indicted, the Republic is dead. And I'm going, well, you know, we have to wait for that. You know, the Rubicon got crossed a long time ago. So I'm just, you know, is this Hillary email thing, you think she's going to get indicted?
No, because she's got a protector. Attorney General Loretta Lynch Mob will never indict her. She's hoping to get some kind of appointment, perhaps to the Supreme Court, perhaps to the cabinet. She's protecting the House, the Democratic House. I mean, Obama's vulnerable, too, but nothing will get by Lynch. The FBI has the goods on Clinton. I mean, 36,000 emails, a lot of them pertaining to Benghazi. I published Aaron Klein's findings in which he showed that Clinton was emailing secured national clearance stuff from the State Department through her private server. She was transmitting the whereabouts of Ambassador Stevens before his death.
You can't make this stuff up.
No. If you put this in a movie, nobody would believe you.
Wow. I mean, the only thing that people in popular culture can kind of get a beat on is if you watch Game of Thrones or House of Cards or both. And you'll see from back in the medieval of since for freaking ever, the same kind of psyop of we can and cousin kill this guy and do this and say that and get the people riled up about the outside, inside invasion or something. And you can pretty much do whatever you want. And then you go from Game of Thrones there up to House of Cards and you're going, damn. And House of Cards is this fourth season. They're running in the 2016 election cycle, Kevin Spacey for president. And it is just amazing, the parallels. And they had to have finished this months ago. I mean, they knew what was going to happen. They went to Washington and talked to people. So I'm looking at this Trump thing. Did you see the AIPAC? You didn't see that?
No.
Okay. I have it up. Let's just play just a couple of minutes of it so that you can kind of get a beat on it. He had AIPAC crowd standing up, standing ovations for this guy. It was amazing. All right, let's give it a little listen here.
And when I say something, I mean it. I mean it.
Believe me. Shut up and believe.
I will meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu immediately. I have known him for many years and will be able to work closely together to help bring stability and peace to Israel and to the entire region. Meanwhile, every single day you have rampant incitement and children being taught to hate Israel and to hate the Jews. It has to stop.
All right, how's he going to do that? Let's hear it. Tell me, Trump.
When you live in a society where the firefighters are the heroes, little kids want to be firefighters. When you live in a society where athletes and movie stars are the heroes, little kids want to be athletes and movie stars. In Palestinian society, the heroes are those who murder Jews. We can't let this continue. We can't let this happen any longer.
Okay, now, I'm wondering how you can't let this any longer and what they're going to do, David. I mean, you know, he's right. You know, you have young children growing up, they see the bulldozing of their whatever and their friends getting whatever and this environment of whatever, and they're hungry. And I'm going, yeah, the rock stars are the ones that, you know, strap on or something, or suicide bombs. And so how would you stop that? Not by, now stop not giving them reasons to have self-determine or have an economy or stop the blockade or boycott, or we're just going to take all the children and retrain them or do or force or blow more people. I mean, what's the solution? I don't know. When we come back, Dave Hodges, he's going to explain it to us. What is the solution to what Trump just said? You can't allow a generation of young Muslims, Palestinians, whatever, grow up hating the West or Israel. Do you do away with the reasons that they hate you? Or you just say you're not allowed to hate? I passed a law. We'll be right back. Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show.
That's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm here to Hancock. Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show's on, explaining it to us. We just left Trump up there talking about how it's got to stop, and we're going to break the circle and chain of violence of generational of young Palestinian kids hating Jews, and we're going to, because he's going to pass a law or something. I don't know. What's he going to do, Dave, you think?
You know, flip a coin. I think really what I'm focusing on right now is how they're going to keep Trump out of the White House. And to me, right now, they're going to change the rules. They're doing it right now. You know, Paul Ryan registered as a candidate on July 30th, even though he says he's not ever going to accept the nomination. Then why would you allow your name to be put on this? So they're going to, I think, introduce Paul Ryan. And, you know, there's one saving grace here, too, Ernie. When you look at what's coming up in the convention, the power elite of the GOP, they don't want Cruz either. I think they want Cruz a little more than they want Trump, but they got a real problem.
Well, Mitt Romney endorsed Cruz. What was up with that?
Anybody but Trump. Let me break it down for you just very, very simply. When you send jobs out of the country and allow these products to come back in duty-free, you're killing millions of American jobs. You're killing the economy. And Trump says he's going to put a 35% tax on all of these products coming back into the country. And who supports these candidates when they run for office? Like Cruz, like Kasich, like Bernie Sanders. They all take corporate money. So the corporations are lining up against Trump, and this is why yesterday, or was it 2 days ago, Lindsey Graham said, well, if Trump gets the nomination, I'm going to tell Republicans to vote for Hillary Clinton. That's insane, but that tells you where his money's coming from. And this is all about the how we've been raped since the free trade agreements have come in, and Trump is threatening to unseat that and create more of a level playing field for the Americans against other countries.
Okay, this is what got me started in the beginning, how I became an activist, so I understand this fairly well. Now, is Trump talking about duties, tariffs, taxes on raw material coming in here, or just finished products, or what?
When I heard him say his 35% spiel on Saturday's rally at Fountain Hills, I don't remember him specifying which. My general sense is that anything, that when you shut down a factory and move out of the country, say to Guadalajara or Taiwan or wherever you go, and you bring those products back into the country, there's going to be a tax. Raw materials, oil, I'm not sure. I would say probably not. But finished products, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah. That's a heck of a start.
Okay, let me explain, you know, real quick my understanding of what happened. It was when I started this in the late 80s, early 90s, my father manufactured a camping trailer for touring motorcycles that blah, blah, blah. They wanted it as the travel restrictions were going down in Europe because it was a good thing. They wanted to order and buy the dozens. And I'm going, Dad, yeah, export and save America. So I immediately came across, you know, a bunch of legislation laws, and I could see what was happening. They were creating a fascist America, and they didn't care. They wanted trade. They just wanted to get their cut going in and out. They were a gang with a flag. I mean, it was real simple. What happened was my father had his, it was called the Alcan Traveler. If you look up Alcan, A-L-C-A-N, Alcan Traveler, you'll see it on the internet, and you'll kind of get the idea. Well, there was a competitor called the Camperoo out of Australia. Anything that had wheels on it that went on the road was taxed. I think if you shipped into Australia, you paid like 75%. Anything to do with a car. Brake pads, whatever it was, it had wheels, something to do with the car and everything. It went on asphalt, 75% tax. Now, we had a trade agreement with Canada that was the last 10 years. It was like, I don't know, 90 to 2000 or something, that they had zero. So the Camperoo, if it was disassembled, they would send my father's competitor to Canada from Australia with the wheels off. All you had to do is put the wheels on, the lug nuts, and now it's assembled, okay? With the wheels off, and it came in from Canada duty-free. My father, when he would ship to Canada, they had to pay 60% duty in order for him to ship it to Canada. Coming the other way, zero. These are the kind of trade agreements. I looked at this, and I'm going, how freaking stupid is that? Who did these? Well, the trade representatives, United States trade representatives, negotiate these kinds of deals. As soon as they get it done, then they leave and go work for the country that they were just doing it, mostly Japan. So I'm going, I understand. This is the kind of stuff that you know Trump knows talking about. And there are corporations and the very guys that we were going up against. And it was, guys, I can remember Jack Cremins, the head of the National Trade Data Bank I was dealing with at the time, and a guy, Steve Mosbacher, which was part of Daddy Bush's Team 100 that became Secretary of Commerce. These guys created this, and they passed a law called the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act at the end of the Reagan administration that Daddy Bush took on, and it was fascism in an inch-thick law. And if I read every page of it and highlight, I'm going, holy crap, Bush is the Bushwalker machine is at the middle of this, so they're not done. My man Jeb could be coming back at any moment. Now, what happens is Trump understands all this. He knows. And if he lives up to his promise and he takes away all these advantages and these tariffs, this inconsistency, because what was I saying? At the time, they have export number, import number. And you export to Australia, say it could be tricycles were cars, okay? When tricycles come here, they're toys. I mean, so they have what they call the harmonized trade code of whatever, so that everything that went out and came back, the whole world dealt on the same description of what something was, so they make it easier for duties and trade and so on. So I'm going, okay, what I want to do is I go, all right, if we have this harmonized, and we know, and it's different for any country that we have, I mean, this technology was there in the 90s, early in 90, and I go, if we have this code, what can we do to compare with what they're charging us and what we're charging them? And if they charge 10%, and then we're going to charge 10%. Or if they're zero, we could be zero. You can have something, a metric that you can go by to do what Trump is talking about. But the people that don't want to do it make gazillions of dollars based on what these numbers are. So I'm just going, this is what Trump is up against. What say you, Dave?
Well, it doesn't matter what industry you're talking about. And Dave says, you're absolutely right, Ernie. Let me give you an example out of the field of pharmaceuticals. Billy Tozen, Representative Billy Tozen, he screwed the seniors with Medicare Part B. And then he turned around and strengthened the laws that wouldn't allow an American citizen to buy medicines in foreign countries. We're the only country in the world that does not allow that. And who was he protecting? The pharmaceuticals. And who did he go to work for? A pharmaceutical making $2 million a year when he resigned early from Congress. This is the way the game is played. These people that negotiate the free trade agreements go to work for either the corporations or foreign governments, and they are raping this country financially. And this is what Trump says he's going to stop.
What I want to do is let's you know, think about the future. Let's predict. You know, let's do some future. When we come back, you know, I'm going to let Dave go and just, you know, so I want him to prep because I can't really talk to him the way we got the system here. I can't really talk to him during the break, you know, which I normally would be able to do. But we're working on it and do that. I can just pick up the phone and we can yak. But we're not going to be able to record it for you, so I don't want to have too much off-air conversation because we used to be able to include that. We're going to try and we'll figure it out how we're going to do it. But I tell you this. I need Dave Hodges with his contacts and people in the intelligence community to kind of how, when Trump does this, or if he really does, what the blowback is going to be from they, them, those that have been gazillionaires because they control it. We'll find out.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Declare Your Independence. I'm here in Ernest Hancock, Dave Hodges. Now, I know this, they're going to play the whole song of this one. All right. Maybe not. Okay. Dave Hodges, we talking about what's going to happen after Trump, after Trump. And he does a lot of these things if he actually does what he promises. And that's one thing that Dr. Frank really makes a big deal out of. Trump is all about his name, his brand, his legacy, his, you know, his children. I see Kennedy Camelot creation of future of here we go. You know, and his daughter, beautiful, smart, capable, got it together, sons, good looking, kind of, you know, got it going. You know, yep. Uh-huh, here we go. So is that what we need? Another, I don't know, oligarchy versus oligarchy, you know, sometimes it's better than not, I guess, but damn. So here we have a story up. What difference does it make? You know, she's going to Congress. Yeah, big guys, who cares? And the emails, well, all of a sudden, Facebook is censoring the leak of Hillary's emails on WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks said, they go, hey, stop censoring us. You know, so here, dear Facebook, stop censoring our Hillary Clinton email release. No, really, stop it. There is no technical excuse. You're not allowed to look here. This is, Facebook is the gut. Google it. We're done. We have to have a decentralized, peer-to-peer, distributed internet of we. And next. Will that happen by the next presidential election cycle or the midterm elections? Is it going to happen soon? Does it have to happen? I think so. David, monologue me, man. Help me out here.
You know, I got an answer to the social media thing, something I just joined. I got sick of being banned by Facebook. Every time I mentioned Hillary or right-wing extremist Muslims, I'd be banned. And a number of things. So there's a group out there now called Scene.life. And I'm not advertising for them. I'm not associated with them business-wise. But I got a page up there. SEEN.life. It's a Facebook clone. And this thing is rolling. I've been a member for 3 days, and I think I got somewhere around 120 friends, and I've been put into 20 or so groups, and things taken off like wildfire because they're sick of Zuckerberg and their censorship. So there's an alternative right there, and it's viable, and they run it out of Iceland, so they're not as prone to be an NSA hacked. Anyway, no system's perfect, but I'll tell you this. People are looking for social media, scene.life. And go sign up for the Common Sense Show. Anyway, what do I see happening with Trump? Well, first of all, the momentum for Trump, I've never seen anything like it. And I have to go back to my social psychological research background and refer to a group called SNARK. And don't ask me what the acronym stands for. I don't have it in front of me. But they do social psychology research on trends and fads. And their position has been through their research, whenever a movement reaches 10% plurality, it takes off like wildfire. And this is what we're seeing with Trump. We're seeing the mushroom cloud of his momentum now. I mean, Clint Eastwood now has even endorsed Trump. It's incredible what's going on. The movement exceeds the man. And this is what we're seeing here with the Trump movement. And there's something, I hate to sound metaphysical, but there's almost something magical going on with this. I've never seen the likes of it in my lifetime. And I don't think even the dirty tricks at the convention can cause Trump not to get the nomination. For if it did, we would start to see the 1968 summer riots, the Democratic National Convention, look like recess. People aren't going to tolerate it. But on the other side, let's say Trump does get the nomination. His life is in real jeopardy. Those of you who know your history are old enough to remember two words, Robert Kennedy, and a little mind-controlled assassin, Sirhan Sirhan, and friends that never got caught. That awaits Trump. And the thing is, though, can we put so much attention on this in this day and age of social media that perhaps we can stop this from happening? The other side will be too afraid. Perhaps. So then think like a globalist. Think like the criminal elite. What would you do next if all eyes are upon you and you can't do a Lee Harvey Oswald stooge? Well, then you've got to turn around and you've got to try to unseat the election. And I think that would be their next strategy. Let's not have elections. And how do you not have elections? Well, with all these little ISIS cells that are in America, conveniently funded by the administration, they are let loose, they're turned loose, and this country is in such absolute and daily chaos that martial law is put into effect, extreme martial law, dusk to dawn curfews, and there will be no election. And we don't have to worry about Hillary getting indicted because Barack Obama will continue to play golf on the White House lawn, and there won't be any elections. And that will be another way to unseat Trump. Now, if Trump does manage to clear all these obstacles and actually takes the oath of office in January of 2017, his challenges are just beginning. Because of the free trade agreement stance that he has and the tax stance that he has, it's the corporations and the elite, usually one and the same, lining up against Trump and the middle class of America. And I think they'll try to frame him. They'll do this or that and the other. And I think they'll try to impeach him. This is what they tried to do to Clinton when he was slightly obstructionist about NAFTA. It's interesting. He made a couple of negative comments about NAFTA, even though he generally supported it. And what happened to him? Monica Lewinsky. And I think that we're going to see Trump framed in a similar way, and we'll go down impeachment road once again in American history. Let's put it this way. If you've spent 30 years lining up these free trade agreements, and you're raping the American people, and you're getting tremendously rich, earning billions, while Americans lose tens of millions or hundreds of millions, are you going to give that up willingly, or are you going to fight? They're going to fight. And Trump somehow has become the manifestation of the middle class. I doubted his veracity in the beginning. His past association with Hillary Clinton, I thought he was destined to disrupt the Republican Party and hand her the election, regardless of her criminal background. I no longer think that. Trump is at such risk right now. The situations are so volatile. He's in danger every time he steps outside of a car, a helicopter, a house, into a public venue. And this man's life is in real jeopardy. So, Ernie, that's kind of my take on what lies ahead for Donald Trump. And then we got another problem, too. Let's say that Trump survives everything that I've mentioned. The kitchen sink is thrown at him, and he's the Teflon man. Good luck getting these programs into place. Good luck getting the 35% tax passed against corporations for the reimportation of our goods that caused us to lose millions of jobs. So he'll have an obstructionist Congress that's funded by Congress, who gets money from the corporations. In fact, Ernie, this leads me to, I think, what a lot of us would agree would be a salient point on this issue. As long as we have legalized bribery in this country, where the corporations are allowed to bribe the Congress in the manner in which they do, we will continue to get the government that we have.
Well, I'm looking at all of this that's happening, and you know from our conversations and evolution over the years, different tacks that we've taken, I see the whole problem as a people's need to be led, a need for government. And I just had Pastor Chuck Baldwin on Friday, I think, and he's talking, well, they need good leaders and a good lead and somebody to lead and we'll lead. And I'm going, can I lead myself? Do I need, is there some leader out there advocating for Declaration of Independence of the individual of leave me aloneism? I'm looking for that. And it's never, it's always some other oligarchy building up the versus another, and we got to pick sides. And I'm like, I don't want to have to pick sides. I just want to pick technology that allows me to be less and less dependent on and autonomous from, and I'm over here, and you guys let me know how it works out. And no, you're not allowed. We're going to come get you. And that idea, that concept of leave me aloneism out in the lone prairie, we got plenty of desert here, is not there. And I purposely went to the League of Cities and Towns convention in August. I purposely talked to certain legislators and activists. We purposely cover, like Adam Kokesh's Freedom Ranch thing up. Just leave me alone. He's already got a cease and desist letter from Yavapai County saying, hey, man, you better get permission slip. You know, so it's an attitude of the people. And if we keep begging for Pharaoh number 347, we're always going to get somebody that's going to rule us. I think that is the problem.
I agree with you. I am less enthralled with the idea of Trump being president than I am with the fact that he's awakened millions of people and brought them into these debates. This is a raising of new consciousness in America. And if Trump is going to be true to his word when he's president, if he survives, gets through his presidency, we will see a whole different mindset in this country. That's what I'm hopeful for. And what's the mindset? Less government. Get the hell out of my life. And you like to say this, Ernie, there are two kinds of people. Those that want to be left alone and those that won't leave them alone. Well, I think through Trump, we might raise the consciousness that we really should collectively work towards being left alone. I could not agree with you more. And I wanted to mention one more thing. There is an ace up the sleeve of the globalists. They're practicing right now a drill called Unconventional Warfare Exercise 16. It's really Jade Helm 16. And they're bringing in 36,000 foreign troops, according to my sources, to four different military bases in Texas. And they are commencing this week civil war drill. Civil war against who? Rogue American units who will not go along with the status quo. And what we could see is a war on our turf between DHS, the administration, and foreign troops against rogue American military units. UX16. If they go to the search engine at thecommonsenseshow.com and put in UWEX16, they can read all about it.
Excellent. Well, we're at the end of the show. Hold on a second. We're going to do some post-show. I think I got, like a minute of something I got to run here. Hold on a second. We'll go ahead and finish this up.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
There. Now we can yak it. All right. I got you still?
I'm here.
Okay. What I want to do is go ahead and discuss. Allison's working on the thing. We can talk now. But the main thing that I want to accomplish is an understanding of what's going to happen after he gets the nomination, should he get it. What happens if he doesn't get the nomination? The threats by everyone to go to Hillary Clinton, it's so building him up against the establishment, it almost feels, I feel like I'm being manipulated in that Trump is somehow got a deal behind the scenes working with of we don't know. And he certainly has the capability of doing that. And if he's a real true American patriot's going to, whatever the heck he's going to do, got a plan and he's not under their control, either they got to deal with him or they got to deal with him. So I'm just, I'm wondering, go ahead and finish your talk about when you're relating to the military exercises going on in Texas. Get us updated on that.
Well, if let's say they take Trump out and people go on the streets, and there is bloodshed, and the American military says, we'll do this initially, and they'll usually get caught up in the emotion initially, and then they walk off the job, so to speak, and their unit commanders are going, we're not supporting this actions. That's what I think UX is all about. These rogue units that won't enforce the edicts of the Obama administration, and they're willing to go to civil war over it. There was almost a coup over Benghazi. And they know that the ranks of the military are not in favor of Obama. Even with Obama's appointees, they're not even in support of him. The Pentagon ignores him. They disobey him regularly. So we are prime for a civil war. And I think that civil war could very easily come between nomination and general election.
Wow. What if they had a war and nobody came? I could see an American Civil War definitely being that one. They're like, I'm good. You know, unless it's, the man starts, we've seen what happened with Free Talk Live. You criticize the FBI and them being, child porn runners, and they come raid you.
Ernie, the people are going to get backed into a corner to where they're not going to have a choice. If Trump is a stooge and there's backroom deals going on, this is going to blow up in their face because he has awakened tens of millions who are not talking about NFL free agents. They're talking about free trade agreements. And this has really changed the mindset of America. I have all kinds of novices to the movement contacting me by email, on my website, in my show. And you can tell they're not very sophisticated in their knowledge about what we're up against. But Trump has brought them into the battle. And this is a nightmare for the other side.
You know, that's one thing that he has done, I guarantee this, is that he's made it kind of cool to be anti, GOP establishment. And that's always been their response to any kind of reform, is they go, yeah, well, if you don't vote for our guy and be a Republican, where else are you going to go? Like when it was Second Amendment issue, where else are you going to go? If you got a gun-grabbing Republican, what are you going to do, support a gun-grabbing Democrat? And I go, how about Libertarian or none? And they're like, wait, you're not allowed to do that, So I'm looking at this whole thing, and I don't see how Trump survives, not the Trump that he's portraying. I'm wondering if there's a Trump, or he has a dead man switch on some information of 9/11 of something. Go ahead, take me out. And I pull this trigger, or don't push this, button on a daily basis or something, and boom, here it comes. He's got to have some hand.
Well, what I have heard, and I saw a reference to this morning too, is that Trump and Cruz are actually doing some backroom dealing, and they're lining up delegates. Cruz thinks he's going to get screwed, too.
Yeah. Well, he got, Mitt Romney to endorse him. Is that part of the ploy?
I have no idea.
I mean, neither. I mean, it's just
these Romney
guys.
Is, who knows why he did what he did? I mean, what he did was actually help Trump.
Yeah. No, I'm like, what? Well, I think my estimation was that Trump and Cruz have been making kind of nice. Yeah, I like Cruz. He's not that bad. If he doesn't get the 1237 delegates for the first round, of which doesn't mean anything anyway, if Trump doesn't do that, he could ally himself with a running mate of Cruz and then breeze through the nomination and we're done. Because they already got between the two. I think they probably got enough already. So I'm going, okay, if that's the goal, well, Mitt needed to endorse Cruz. To keep them from them going together.
It's interesting, but you also look at Trump. I don't think that's in the cards right now because on Saturday, what did Trump do? Lie and Ted. And that's a little stronger than the rhetoric that took place between Reagan and George H.W. Bush. I don't know if you can come back from that, at least not right away.
Yeah. This is very, I really enjoy, and a lot of people enjoy, we do the Trump report thing with Frank on Thursdays, and he's just animated, man. He was at the event. He gave us a firsthand. In Tucson, it was interesting, and this just keeps mucking up their narrative. What they had was a black police officer that went there as a private individual, just dressed, without uniform, to watch what happened. And I saw it on, it was InfoWars, I think, had it. And he was, look, man, they were just acting a fool. Well, they were doing what they were supposed to do. They were trying to shut down them responding, them getting to have their say from the podium, Trump being able to talk. They wanted to get, assault charges, show fights, do anything they could to create a ruckus. And I remember these before. This was brown shirt Nazi Germany stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is. And we're going to have Reichstag moments, and not one of them,
right.
A lot of them.
Yep. Okay. Now, define for the audience what you mean by the Reichstag and how that's in multiple of them, what that means.
Well, when you look at what happened with the German Congressional Building when Hitler was trying to assume power, he had some Nazis elected to the German Congress. but not enough to really have a majority. So what he did was he burned down the German congressional building called the Reichstag fire, blamed the communists, killed them, and was able to eventually assume power under the guise of, you need us to protect you.
As chancellor, which is all we get to kick butt on everybody and indefinite detention of rendition of we get to whoever we pick. And they have that power. It's one thing a lot of people haven't been bringing up a lot is that the president has the power, and I don't know if Obama be, you know, rolling that out. We're just doing rolling of a, you know, get on the rolling truck, we're going to roll you, you know, and down to the Hooskow, and you're not allowed to have a say. This thing with Free Talk Live, the FBI, I mean, it's always low-hanging fruit, you know, child porn, child porn, child porn. You know, and they're trying to deflect the it off of them. Yeah, see, somebody a year ago, they logged into this one honeypot. We kind of, what? And I'm going, what were they saying? That the FBI was distributing child porn. They were. There's no getting around that. That's what they were. They created. They did it. They were trying to get, and going, damn. Well, they couldn't have that narrative take hold. So there's, if they have to, they, them, those won't leave you alone. They'll do something. And I'm wondering, you know, it seems to me with Trump making nice with AIPAC, it was, you know, standing ovation several times. And I'm going, this is he just, he's playing the game? Is he, you know, giving them red meat? Is he eliminating competition? Is he, what do you think he's doing there? Or does he just believe all this stuff?
I think it's closing an exit door for Jewish voters to leave him. I think that's part of it. And I think part of it, if Trump is sincere, let's work on assuming good motives here. If Trump is sincere, he needs to restore Israel just for military balance in the Middle East. I mean, something that Obama has all but destroyed. And I think it's a good move on his part. And if Trump can help carry the Jewish vote by doing so, then he's helped himself here domestically.
Yeah, see, it all comes down to we have to trust the electoral system. I don't.
I don't either.
You know, that's one. This is all based on we have to. I remember in 98, Judge John Buttrick was running for the state legislature. We wanted to give it what for. And we had the meetings before that. And we're going, look, we're going to go whole hog and really do a campaign. We got a quad. We'll just go kick ass. So we focused on, and I said, we have to go in with the understanding that we have to believe that the votes are being counted accurately. Because if we don't, then why are we doing this?
That's a horse of a different color.
You know, I'm going, and I was the one that was saying, no, it's never, they're not going to allow, are you kidding me? Then they go, come on, Ernie, we got it. You know, all right. I will suspend my belief of how corrupt the system is over here, and we'll do whatever you guys want to do as county chairman. Let's go kick ass. So we did. We did and had a good time and everything. I mean, they're all nutted up about what the totals and percentages and polling is. It's like a rat, you know, clicking the pleasure switch or give me a grain of rice or something. And I'm going, no, I know better. So this, I look at this entire process as a sham in every level from the beginning of everything. I see the cultural aspects of it. You know, the media that's produced, your website, our radio show, your show, all this stuff is just the awakening of the people to see it. And I encourage people to get involved at the nitty grittiest part of the electoral process so you can see it's all crap. And I'm like, David, you've gone inside, and I mean, you go to precinct committee meetings, have you spoken to district, blah, 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 have you got the legislator thing going on, have you gone through that process before?
Yes, I've been to that.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, this is why I have a website.
Right. So let's say Trump does get the nomination, and Hillary doesn't get indicted. And you're saying Hillary's not going to get indicted?
No, not with Loretta Lynch in play. Of course not.
Okay, so, you know, Hillary not going to get indicted. So I'm going, there'll be somebody gets served up, and you do 5 years in the Hooskow for Hillary, and you'll get a nice little paycheck if you don't get shanked, you know, shoved in you and, you know, in prison anyway. You know, so I'm going, all right, so however this plays out, let's say Hillary's in the race, Trump is in the race. You know, I don't trust the system. I mean, it's up in the air who is going to win and why. What do you think is going to happen? Is Hillary our next president?
Boy, if I were to say today, no. Not unless they take Trump out. I don't believe the polls that say Hillary will beat him head-to-head. There's no way in heck that's going to happen. All the momentum is on Trump's side. Hillary is campaigning against nobody. So I would say absolutely not. That's a good question. Hillary, could she win? Yes. And she'll be our Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
So there's 85 bodies that followed her into the White House.
What do you mean?
I counted. I went back and counted.
Before they got to the White House?
Today. There are 85 dead people. People who showed up mysteriously dead, dating back to her and Bill's Arkansas days, with Whitewater and all those scandals, all the way to the present. 85 bodies.
Yeah.
That's called, she'll be the FEMA camp president.
Okay, now wait a minute. 85 bodies before they got to the White House or since they left the White House?
Total. I mean, from then until now that we know of.
Yeah, because they had a slew before they even got. Hell, that's how they get there. Just watch House of Cards.
Yeah, exactly.
House of Cards. What a scary, scary proposition. And I love how Kevin Spacey turns at the camera and just says, hey, you know, this is how we do whatever we do because we're doing it. I had predicted, we had talked, you know, over the years before, that we would get to this position. 2016, it's kind of always 2016 because that when I started back in the late 80s and when my kids are going to be our age now, my wife and I, yeah, which is now, and I said 2016, that'll be the year, just, you know, 20 whatever years in the future, and all of a sudden now we're here. And I'm going, yep, I knew that we'd get to this position where finally the people, the internet was coming out, they're going to get edumacated, they're going to get involved, they're going to be able to participate, express themselves. That's what the Levolution was all about. But I haven't been able, didn't plan, didn't see past right now. So as much as I am confident about where we finally, all these years to get to now, what happens after now, I have no freaking idea. Other than there will be people that want to be left alone, and there will be those that just won't leave them alone. And that battle is what is happening right now. When you talked about scene.life, I put it up on top of Freedom's Phoenix right now. You know, everybody go look and see, you know, this new social media that's competing with Facebook. And then there's another one out there that is 400 million users that have ad blocking on Facebook and a bunch of other stuff. And they trying to get around, oh, Facebook don't like them none too much. So I'm going, all right, this battle is already coming. Technology is going back to the individual. We're talking about Ubuntu-based, Linux-based operating system phone out of China that doesn't have the surveillance grid of, well, at least, you know, as far as we know. But I'm going, this is, these opportunities are coming up for us to break free technologically with food and our own water and growing and communication and energy and all, medicine and healthcare and just eating right. I mean, you know, we're livestock and we're breaking free regardless of the freaking election.
That's what my point has been all the way through this.
Thank you. So, well, tell us about the scene.life. You know, I'm studying it more here.
It's the creation of Chris Kitsky. Excuse me, and Mike Roach is running it. And
who are these guys?
I mean, you can't threaten to kill anybody, can't sell drugs. Other than that, there's no restrictions, and it's a clone of Facebook. It's almost the same format.
Well, I've seen these before. I remember Restore the Republic. You know, Gary Franchi's thing before he did his TV network, Next News Network, he had RTR.org. That's what it was. It was like a Facebook clone, and he created a community doing that. I don't know what happened to it, but I guess it was before its time. But this is, how long has it been in testing or beta, or you had an account?
They've been testing it for a year, and it rolled out in its form about 5 days ago. And it hit the ground running. I mean, I told you I have over 100 friends. I've got the Common Sense Show up there. I've got, I don't know, well over 100 people who've already joined, posting articles, exchanging comments. It's going to go like wildfire.
I've been looking for this exact type thing to go onto, not DARPA's internet. You know, peer-to-peer, encrypted, bite me. And I'm hoping this is just shown that it can happen, and that it is happening. It's still on there, but you say it's got servers in Iceland.
Well, that's my understanding, and they're sincere. I know these guys well.
Well, where are they? How do you know them? What's their background?
Well, they run Chris. Excuse me. Chris owns Before It's News. And he's had me as a paid contributor now for a few years. And I know him well. And I've had a lot of business dealings with him, doing various things. And the guy's honest. I can vouch for him. He's really a guy that I trust.
Okay. Well, all right, we'll go take a look at it. You know, any competition to these brain suckers, man, you know, I'm definitely for that. Go ahead and give out the web pages and where they can get hold of your show and your writings and stuff. We try and put, you know, a lot of all your good stuff up, but go ahead and let people know where they can go directly to you.
Well, they go to thecommonsenseshow.com and got a carousel up there that runs the last 10 entries that we put on the site. And my show airs from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday evenings. And the easiest way to listen is just go to my Listen to Dave button in the upper right-hand corner and hit there. I mean, we're on stations, and we're on Global Star Radio Network, and they have live feeds. But the easiest thing, just go to the website, commonsenseshow.com, and hit the Listen Dave, and you can listen to the show, 8 to 11. We also post the archives.
Awesome. Yeah, and Dave's willing to, you know, have a link to what we're doing. So I'm like, you know, we'll cross-promote and do and make each other famouser, you know. So that I'm hip to that. Thank you, David. You know, we'll work it out, you know. But I just wanted to give the listeners, you know, without interruption, he and I just talking. Have you ever listened to the Trump reports that we do?
Yes, they're great.
You know, that, you know, the I just sit back and let Frank go, man. he pegged this. We've been doing 30-something shows, 50-something hours plus bonus since July. So I've been, none of this was like a big giant surprise to us or our listeners because, you know, Frank, you know, saw it coming. Were you confident as much as him, or did you see, you know, what you thought would happen, or did this surprise you?
I didn't know. I've been so thrilled at how many people are waking up. I can't tell you. We're going to be a hard group to control. I thought for a long time we'd go down without a fight. I no longer think that.
Yeah, no, I was never really that worried. You know, I've always been the positive thing. I just got confirmation. It looks like I'll be speaking in Marrakesh. And then after that, I'll be in at Porkfest. I'm going to be doing why I'm still so very optimistic. I mean, you know, and however much time I get is how many slides I can put up, and I can do like, you know, 3 a minute. I mean, it's just, you know, overwhelming, you know, a download of look at all this stuff that we are freeing ourselves in every aspect, in transportation, in communication, energy, medicine, health. It's space travel. It's amazing how much humanity is, you know, pulling away from groups or countries or governments or even corporations doing stuff. They go, you know what? I had an idea, a Kickstarter, and a 13-year-old helped me develop in the Arduino board of on my whiz-bang gizmo gadget of flight control space probe of ion drive of CubeSat of I went and found a satellite platinum mine now. Okay? And I'm going, this is amazing what's happening. And shows like the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges, you're starting to understand from the people that are inside the military and law enforcement and the intelligence community are able to go to someone like Dave, you know, because they know he's, you know, bring it on. And how do you vet, you know, the information that you get? How many different sources do you got? I mean, are you just, you know, you hear a juicy good tale, you're just throwing it up? I mean, what kind of filter do you have?
Well, military intelligence, I've got two primary sources. One source dates back to the days when my father was active duty. And I don't want to say any more than that because obviously I work on discretion. The other source is 13 years old and was involved in our property rights battle, albeit from a different geographic location. And this person had a very high-ranking position in our military, and I mean very high-ranking. And these two have never been wrong. They gave me Benghazi about 3 months before anybody else had, what was going on with a possible coup involving General Hamm and Admiral Guyette. They're as good as it gets. And the one person, I know why he chose me, because he's known me since I was born. And he trusts me. The other person learned to trust me because of my dealings with him when we were fighting against McCain and his attempted land grabs here in Arizona. So those are my two best. And I have people that come in and out, and some of them are referred by these two. And that's how they get vetted. And then sometimes you just develop sources on your own. I've got a DEA source that I've been working with now for 2 years. The guy has never been wrong. So it's kind of happenstance, Ernie. It's just like they find you, you don't find them.
Yeah. I remember, I don't know if you remember this. You weren't involved in a lot of this stuff back in the mid-90s. I mean, in the mid-90s, you were coaching women's basketball or something.
Oh, I was coaching men's basketball.
Okay. This is, how do I keep thinking women's basketball? Did you ever coach women's basketball?
No.
I don't know why I kept thinking that. So I'm going, okay, so he's coaching basketball back in the day. And I remember in the mid-90s, a lot of these conspiratorial and kind of look here and did you know and people. And one of them was called the Resistors. And it was Special Forces that did a publication on military bases. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And did you ever talk to these guys?
No, because I wasn't active like I am now. I didn't get active until I got kicked in the teeth by McCain, and I was facing financial ruin because he wanted to steal my house without compensating me for it.
Yeah, no, this was what got you all worked up. It was them trying to do eminent domain to take entire neighborhood, like hundreds of homes.
Oh, it wasn't eminent domain. Eminent domain means you get paid. They were just trying to force us off our land. It was outright theft.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So this was because they can't. You know, it was it was kind of like Harry Reid, Nevada, China crap. You know, I mean,
yeah.
But this was before the internet really took a big hold, and we were able to use that. But Freedom's Phoenix, early on, we had the show, and Dave took that and used it to make woohoo out of it, and prevailed. So we're like, cool. So that's
sometime we got to do a show. And if you're so willing to reveal the inner workings here and talk about how Freedom's Phoenix was instrumental in helping my community save their homes.
At some time, you know, a lot of it, you think I remember even. No, I see Freedom's Phoenix is it's a tool that I make use in. It kind of built up, you know, and Dave had plenty of boom and off he goes. Well, it's just like Stephen Lemon. You know, he's a retired older guy that's, you know, progressive, left-leaning, whatever, but he has a lot of good facts. He's prolific. I mean, that guy writes 2, 3, 4, 5 articles a freaking day, and he's on Lou Rockwell and on RSA. He started just like you in the beginning, early day. Yeah, fine, as long as you're sincere. You know, I don't agree with everything. Like Frosty Woolrich. You know, Frosty, you know, his brother was part of LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Frosty is big on anti-immigration. I mean, he doesn't like immigration. He's all over it. Well, now he's in his heyday now, man. I mean, you know, it's all the big issue. So we had a lot of writers that may not agree totally with, but I certainly agree with their ability to be able to say their sincere opinion, which is different than Facebook, you know? That's it. No, you're not allowed. And I saw this coming long time ago, and all but Ernie, it's, I'm going, you guys don't understand, they're not your friends. They're Zuckerberg's friends, a.k.a. government's friends. Your Google Hangout on the NSA platform of whatever. I'm going, I don't know why you got even YouTube, just, and it's gone now. We have to go to a different platform. Well, you know, who's hooking us up here? Scene.life, SEEN.life. Dave's already got an account on there last few days and having good luck with it. You feeling good about it?
Oh, I love it. I think it's the wave of the future. There's money behind it. They've got good technicians. So, yeah, I'm confident this is going to be big.
How'd you even know about it?
Because I know the owner.
He said, Dave, get on over here. Well, you don't love me? You didn't tell me?
Oh, no. Well, yeah, I'm on your show. It's only 5 days old, Ernie.
All right. Well, I'll probably
pass out all the cigars on one day.
Yeah, it was within a week, so I guess I'll let you slide.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I have a good relationship with this owner. He's sending me to this Chinese festival that's coming to town at the end of the month. I can't wait. Display of the Chinese culture going back 5,000 years, and these tickets aren't cheap.
Well, here in Arizona, in Phoenix, they have a Chinese cultural center.
Right.
And it's freaking Chinese government in Phoenix. I tell you, that's what it is. And they have, you know, like Chinese groceries and supermarkets. A lot of things, if you want to be making, you know, authentic little stuff, you better go there because you ain't going to get anywhere else, you know. So it's what they're going to be doing is what? They're just displaying their culture? Is it going to be business opportunities? Are they going to have, you know, manufacturing? I mean, what are they
doing? No, it's a cultural display. It's a show. It's a theater. And they go back 5,000 years and portray Chinese culture. Everyone I know that's seen it says it's awesome.
Oh, so it's like a play.
Oh, yeah, it's a play. It's a musical festival.
Oh. Can't
wait to see it because the reviews are just phenomenal.
Well, when is this?
It's they're here different times. I think I'm going to the April 1st showing.
Okay.
And we were sent the tickets by my good friend Chris Kitsky, who owns Scene.life. And my wife's thrilled, and she said, it's about time we had a little culture in this family.
Chinese culture, what the hell? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to have to run because I've got a doctor's appointment.
Thanks for spending the extra time. I'm glad we got to kind of just yak it because it makes me feel better. You know, the other thing is I'll get working with you and send you whatever I think. You know, hopefully it'll just be a plug. Are you doing your website or do you have other people do it?
A combination. I have a webmaster, but I do a lot of the publishing of the article.
Let me know if you have a problem, because Donna sent you the link. It's just, you know, boom, push the button, it plays. I mean, you know, hopefully it's everything that you need.
Okay.
And let me know. And then the scene.life guy, put in a word for me or send me an email with his contact information. I'd like to interview him.
Oh, he'll love that. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll even do one better. When I'm on the road to the doctor, I will give him a call.
All right. Boom. Done. Make them infamous. You know, this is right up the alley. I want to go, and I'll ask all kinds of, you know, informed questions. I'm sure you'll want to answer. Dave Hodges, Common Sense Show. Thank you very much for spending the extra time with me, David.
Thanks, Ernie. Always a pleasure. Talk to you later.
Peace, brother.
Bye-bye.